Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our October Digging Deeper into Disc Practitioner Call. I'm Barbara Meese, one of the directors of leadership development at Lead Like Jesus, and I will be moderating our call this morning. And I like to always begin our calls by dedicating this time to the Lord, so let's take a moment and go to prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning so grateful to be children of the King. We take great joy in knowing that you, the creator of the universe, the one who commands the winds and the waters, care about us. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessings, your protection, and your provisions, which we abundantly pour down on us. And so now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to keep our eyes on you, to help us to extend all the blessings that you give to us onto others and into a needy and just hurting world right now, Lord. We just want to be a blessing to all those who need you and want you in their lives. And we especially ask, Lord, that you would let your love shine through us out into the world. And now, just be with us, Father. We pray that this call will be honoring to you and that our efforts will just glorify you in all we do. And we just pray that you would help us to share the Lead Like Jesus message out into our spheres of influence. And we just pray this in your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, now it gives me great pleasure to have two seasoned DISC practitioners and master trainers on our call this morning, Ken Voges and Judy Zitzloff. We'll begin by hearing from Ken this morning. Many of you have met Ken at our Biblical DISC certification. Ken lives in Houston with his wife, Linda. He is the author of our Biblical DISC assessment, and he's an adjunct professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He's going to share with us how he has introduced DISC to his clients over the past 25-plus years and ways he uses DISC assessments. So, Ken, I turn the call over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara. I hope it's something you guys can go ahead and use, and please don't hesitate to go ahead and give me a call. One of the things that I do anytime I get a person that's interested in becoming and speaking to a group, I always go ahead and send them a one-page, what I call, needs assessment document. It's made, its software is Microsoft Word, and I have two different formats, one for secular and one for business, and it really lists six things that they rank as to what they personally want to know about themselves and what they want to know about their team. And that tool is used to go ahead and get an idea of what is the need of the person. And my point in bringing about, if you would like a copy of that, you know, just as a sample, I would be more than happy to edit it and personalize it to your own desire. But that's that. Initially, that's what I used, Barbara, to go ahead and say, okay, what are they calling me, and can they go ahead and rank what's really important? Where do they itch? And from there, I go ahead and personalize a call to go ahead and set up some sort of a proposal to them. So that's kind of what I do. Is anybody have any questions about that and what that's all about?
Ken, what would be the best way for people to request that from you? Just to email you?
ArVoges, V-O-G-E-S, at AOL.com. And
okay,
I'd be more than happy AOL.com, and I'd be more than happy to, you know, send you a copy of that. And what Barbara, what it is in a Word document, so you can go ahead, you know, most people have Word, and they can go ahead and personalize it to themselves. But it's 12 different subjects that I use around DISC, both on six on a personal basis and six on a team basis, and they kind of rank. This is what I need to know, in the area of this so that I can go ahead and impact my team. And it's a simple tool, but it's very, very focused to go ahead and give me an idea before I make that call, what is it that you need me to go ahead and do? And then we can go into various different other, subjects as to, are we talking a day? Are we talking half a day? Are we talking just, one time? So it really kind of focuses on where people are and how I can go about helping them.
Great.
Okay. What do you want me to talk about? The other thing that I do here is, this is to all you practitioners, I do a lot of illustrations through PowerPoint, and of course you can, on the Oasis account, you can download all these slides. If for any reason that you get stuck and you say, okay, I don't know, Ken, what you're trying to say here, or I'm stuck here, how would you go ahead and really apply that? I have no problem in you calling me, and Barbara, is it okay if I get my phone number here?
Sure.
So, if you guys ever get stuck or you get a handout and you say, how would you use that? I have no problem doing that. I want you to be successful, and I would be more than delighted to go ahead and help you. Just let me tell you what's behind that or how you can go and use that. And my phone number is 713-934-8810. And I've done that a couple of times with, practitioners. I haven't really, publicly said that's okay, and I just need everybody that's investing their time right now to be on this to say I'm here to help you to do and be successful. And there are always going to be questions when you get to, certain bits of information or content at what behind that. And of course, my passion is to always take DISC and relate it to biblical case studies. That's my passion. And in particular, my passion is to help couples in marriage or premarital thing. That's where I use a lot of it in my own church. But of course, I do team building both in the secular and also in the church or Christian organization. So I can talk both cultures and tell you what works DISC either way and how I do it. And I don't expect you to do it the way I do it. Do it the way you do it, the way you're comfortable. And so if you need to go ahead and talk to me about using a slide in a little bit different format or something like that, I'd be more than delighted to do that.
So, Ken, a couple things. Tell us a little bit, when you're talking with your clients, what do you specifically say about DISC, that DISC is going to be able to do to help them or to make a difference in their organization? And then I also heard you mention team building. How specifically are you using DISC in that way?
Well, what I do is I always, like I say, I try to focus on using that needs assessment to go ahead and dive into what is the need. And most of the time they're asking that question, what will this do? I always tell them, well, DISC is a model or a framework that identifies needs. It also identifies strengths, but it all most importantly identifies needs, and it is a language of communication. And if communication is an issue for you, we can help you. And that kind of takes you through the secular version of that. When I go into a church situation, I go a little bit deeper. What I'm talking about there, I says, okay, why would you use DISC in the church? Why would they be important? And I always take them to Matthew 22:36-38. Where Jesus is asking the question, what's the most important commandment? This is asked by a Pharisee. Of course, they had 365 different commandments, and they were trying to go ahead and, of course, get in to go, go ahead and make a false statement. Of course, he always answers it well. And in this particular case, he says, you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Now, where we go with that, it says loving your neighbor as yourself, goes ahead and simply means to understand the need of the person that comes in your sphere of influence and meeting the need. Now, I just said something very important. This goes ahead and measures needs. The scripture suggests that you meet needs. It is a tool that you can go ahead and do and love your neighbors yourself. So that's how I answer it differently, Barbara, in the church and in the secular situation, okay? And it's just really helping people to understand where somebody's coming from and how to create the environment to go ahead and bring their A-game to work. That's a very short way in which I say things. Answer your question.
Good. Thank you. And then besides team building and just also mentoring and counseling couples at your church, are there other applications that you use with DISC?
Oh, absolutely. What I do and what I'm very committed to doing in being able to do a 1 hour or a whole day type of thing, I use those four exercises in the biblical behavior assessment. And getting people to go ahead and personalize who they are and where they're coming from. And what it does is defines, first of all, in the work style, what does this person bring to the team and who they need on the team. So that's what that exercise does. And then how do you communicate and introducing the whole idea of fear. And fear is very, very important, and it really dovetails back into what Lehi Jesus is talking about. I mean, it deals with two basic things, fear and pride, and these are the things that create problems and misunderstanding and shutting things down and creating conflict. And then I go ahead and I also talk about how do we get in conflict with you, and then finally, how do we go ahead and resolve conflict. So those four pages that are in both the secular tool and also in the biblical tool are the basic tools that I use in team building, Barbara. Those four exercises are absolutely critical, and you'll hit a home run every time you do that, but you're getting people to go ahead and personalize a paragraph, and then I have them read it publicly. And there's something about reading a definition personalized that has a real potential for impact. And that's how what I do. To answer your question, that's the tool. Those are the main tools that I use in order to do any team building or pre-marathon. I use those four exercises.
Good. Well, thank you, Ken. I'd like to give others on the call a chance to ask a few questions before I introduce Judy. So if you have a question, if you have muted, just *6, and we'll just open up the lines for a few moments if anyone has a specific question for Ken.
Ken, this is Dwayne Lee. Could you give your email address again? It was a little garbled, so if you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
Not a problem. It's krvoges, V-O-G-E-S, @AOL.com.
Thank you.
Is Daryl there in there?
Daryl Keller
from
is here.
From Winnipeg?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here. I just had to unmute my phone.
Unmute. You and I had a conversation, did we not? Or am I talking to another person?
No, that's correct. And we did spend some time on the phone going through pages 20 to 23,
yes,
which was very helpful for myself to just go a little deeper than we had been able to do at the training.
Yeah,
how that applied.
So, was that helpful to you to go through that conversation and personalize that? I mean, I felt like there was some mystery with regard to validating your style. That is another way in which I go ahead and make sure that as we come up with the plotting points, one of the things that I try to let people know, we hope that as we go ahead and take the assessment, each plotting point is valid. But what we give you with those four exercises is that way to go ahead and tweak it a little bit. And that's what we did with you in our initial conversation. And I pray that that was helpful to you.
Yes, yeah, it sure was helpful. Yeah, it was very good.
Well, thank you, Daryl. I know that it's always a blessing to be able to do biblical disc one-on-one with people, and especially face-to-face, but we can be just as powerful doing disc debriefs over the phone with people, and I think that was such a great opportunity for Ken and Daryl to have some time together. So continue to just jot down your questions as you think of them for Ken, but for now I'd like to introduce our next speaker to you, and that is a dear friend of mine, Judy Zitzloff. Judy has been using DISC in her business for many years. She lives in my hometown, Minneapolis, with her husband, Ray. She has earned the title of DISC Master Trainer through her many DISC certifications over the years and using DISC in many applications. She has trained hundreds of people on DISC, certifying them both internally in organizations and independent consultants and trainers. And we are very honored to have Judy share with us how she has marketed DISC, how she uses DISC in her business. And once again, we just ask you to jot your questions down, and we'll open up the line after Judy has had a chance to share. Judy, over to you.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. Ken, I think I could listen to you for days on end. Thank you for all of your great suggestions.
Yeah, you're so nice.
I'm going to combine two things here, and I'm just getting a call coming in. I'm ignoring it, but I might check up here for a minute. I want to talk about best practices and then combining that with what I have done and continue to do, so to build the business. I think the first one is to be intentional, to have that big picture, that plan, and as Ken talked about, to really know what your passion is and then pursue that. Some of you have heard me say that many of my colleagues have dubbed me with the title of the DISC evangelist. And I am an ardent evangelist of DISC. And so when I became certified, I had one goal, and that was to DISC the world. I wanted everybody to experience DISC and the transforming power that it could have. And so my primary objective and way I went to business was to build an evangelism team. And I really wanted to train trainers. That has been from day one pretty much my MO. And so I marketed two trainers, and I put together, I wanted ideally to do a two-day training. But as you know, many times that turned into be only a one-day training. So they would learn DISC, and then they would take it to their employees. And how that would look like if I could get them to do a two-day training was the first half day I would do an employee training. And so if they had a group who wanted to work together better, so the applications, as you know, DISC is application rich. So maybe that would be a team building training, a communication, conflict, management. But that four-hour training would always be very outcome-based. And then the trainers would observe. So let's say they had six trainers. They would observe me doing the session. And then they would come back the afternoon and the next day. And then they would practice facilitating. We would talk about many exercises. And most importantly, we would talk about, so now what? How are you going to reinforce the training? And I truly do. I preach ad nauseum the importance of reinforcement. Using, combining products, keeping it going. As Ken talked about, it's a language. And the more people in that company and the more often they can speak that language, the better it's going to be. So that really was my, if I had to say, one overarching market, that would be it. The other thing that I did early on, and it's kind of a tag-along onto the train the trainers, and that was to create DISC champions. We know a lot of people in an organization, they're not a trainer. They don't want to be a trainer, but they love DISC. And so I would conduct calls. We would have conference calls. We would do whatever it could when we found DISC champions. And sometimes those trainers would find DISC champions. So the team just kind of grew and grew and grew. And they were so helpful. So they might form a little DISC committee within the organization. Or they might do, if they had an intranet newsletter, they would send out success stories and tips and ideas, the little newsletter type things. Sometimes they would conduct panel discussions or lunch and learn. So the trainer might do that, but if they could create those DISC champions and share the fun within the organization, that was huge. Another thing that, a best practice that I cannot talk enough about, and that is to create alliances. Always, always, always be planting seeds. When I started, I actually started teaching in adult education, and there met, you never know who you are going to meet. there met many people who took me to their companies or and a lot of times they became personal friends. I just think you have to be a master networker. I also, like Ken, I would teach in some community colleges as an adjunct professor in their business divisions. And, of course, you know who attends those. Yes, people within companies, many managers, many people who have needs. The other thing I did quite well was hook up with professional associations. And so, they might have continuing ed credits. So I would teach. One that comes to mind is I did a lot of work for a banking professional association. And I got many clients from that. So somebody from that company would attend, and then they would say, oh wow, we need this. And I would end up going in-house, which it was honestly my ultimate goal was to be in-house. Also, our pastor was a huge DISC fan, and so he taught many leadership classes in the church, and I would he would have me come in and do the DISC part for if he was doing leadership or communication, and many clients came from that as well. I also was a Stephen Minister trainer, and we used DISC in Stephen Minister training. I also used DISC in the temperament piece in spiritual gift classes. Another best practice, know your resources. How can I build? I think become a master builder. And Ken alluded to this so well. Maybe we're doing classic DISC first. But what about all those other reports, the collaboration report, the group, the team report? Somebody told me one time that when you are trying to help people understand how DISC can help them, and as Ken talked about, you start asking questions, then when they start to say a need that they have, then your comeback is which results in. So if I have, if we are having, I'm having a communication problem with my coworker, which results in, and then their answer, which results in, until you really get to the itch or the pain. And that has really, truly been very helpful. So I think I only knew one word when I began, and I think I only really only know one word now, and that is yes. What can we do? So if there's a conference coming up, if there's any opportunity to talk about DISC, I will take it. And my other best practice that I had was the mentality of replacing one with one. So when I did a training, my goal was always to replace that. So if I was doing an association CEU training, then I wanted to get at least one customer out of that. And that's a pretty good mentality. I also believe strongly that we should not leave DISC at work. And so, you know, even when I was doing any business training, they've all got families. And as you all know, DISC is tremendous for families. So I think really just really building, what can you do to build a culture? Go application deep. The three words that I like to explain DISC with, and those three words are the practicality, the simplicity, and the immediate applicability. And then persevere. Don't give up. You know, I think it was Emerson who said, God will not have his work made manifest by cowards. So just stay in there. Be brave. Go for it. And I honestly do wish I would have written a book of all the great experiences. And another piece of practical advice is keep learning. As new things come out, learn about them. Think about how they can apply to your clients or would-be clients. So those are some of my ideas. I'm happy to entertain any questions.
Thank you, Judy. So let's just open up the line. If you have any ideas or a comment or question for Judy, please let's go ahead and take those now.
I have a comment for Judy. She mentioned the additional reports that are available. Either the collaboration report or the relational report, either one of those two, are tools that you could use to practice on. They're just absolutely critical to go ahead and learn. And the thing that is so, and they need to understand this, is that those reports are free. I mean, you know, if you get it, you know, you don't pay for it. All, you know, the other accounts that are out there, you know, they charge for those, but you can run those. And if you're sitting there saying, what can I learn about DISC? If you're sitting there just starting out, I would run a collaboration report about somebody that loves you and yourself and just talk through that. You're going to learn a lot by doing that simple exercise. And it is the tool that I'll use in premarital counseling. Thanks for mentioning that, Judy. But I just wanted to reaffirm that there's a product that people need to know how to use.
Yes, I could not agree more. And I'm also a big proponent, if they are not familiar with DISC at all, to give them a complimentary profile. I think that can just make a world of difference. The other thing that I did not mention that I would encourage you to think about too, and that is to develop, to have your customers refer you. And we do have in place, we call it the customer followership program. And so if Ken is at one company and I'm his distributor, and then Ken now has left ABC company and gone to XYZ company. When he calls me and takes me with him, then that company will get a discount, a company followership discount. So anything I can do to encourage my current customers, and they do leave, and we know there's a lot of job hopping, especially
with
millennials, then take me with you and I will reward you. So that has been a very good thing that we have instituted. Okay, back to you, Barbara. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Well, I'll give you a few more minutes.
Oh, sorry. This is Carrie Roach. It took me a minute to unmute myself. Sorry about that. Yes, a question for either of you. I'm just starting out. I just completed my DISC training, I guess, last month. So starting out, do you have any suggestions for just how to get started? Because this is excellent information and guidance, but to just take those initial steps to get people interested and engaged, what would you recommend?
I would recommend networking. I mean, I think I can't tell you the associations I joined. And I think just getting, you really need to get your name out there. And I did a lot of free stuff when I started, or so low cost. But I do think it is important that you're not seen as somebody who is giving yourself away. So I would oftentimes try to, you know, make it look like somehow this was a donation to them. And but I just think networking, getting to know people, I personally think it's pretty important to have a website just for presence. So I would develop, if you don't have one, I would develop a website. Not that you have to sell on that website, but just to get the presence out there, and learn. You know, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got from the person who certified me in DISC was use DISC 10 minutes a day and observe, and just, you know, maybe as you see things happen, comment on it and bring DISC in. It's perseverance and to just really stay focused. So if you have a market, Terry, that you really want to work in, and sometimes that's a market you are very familiar with, where you have some clout and expertise. I had no clout. I had no expertise when I started. But I was very clear on what I wanted to have happen. And that was to DISC the world. And I don't care. Anybody who would even give me a half a second, I was talking DISC. And I think living it, you know, I just use it. I practice. Oh, my gosh. I can't tell you how many people I would practice with. And I think that's the main thing. Just persevere. Every day do something.
This is great stuff, Judy. I want a commercial for the scriptures, and I want to come up on your 10-minute idea, you know, 10 minutes a day. If you can go ahead and go through the classical pattern and pick one of the characters that is in the BBA and do just a Bible study on that character, you're going to go ahead and learn a lot about that particular classical pattern by just doing a simple Bible study. And there are four kind of categories for each one of those in the BBA, the biblical assessment, that can, you can do a Bible study on that classical pattern. The thing, the way that product is designed, that classical pattern is also part of the secular one. And I always do some fishing, you know, when I do a secular deal. I go ahead and I throw a thing as, oh, you're a DI, and I just want, there is a famous character like that in the scriptures, and if you'd like to know more about it, it was Joshua, you know, and I just throw that out, and then I go on. Now, you have to be careful with it. You have to understand your, you know, but I'm sitting there, I'm very prejudiced, of course. You know, if you want to know what makes each one of these classical patterns stick, I think a simple 10-minute Bible study would be something that would be helpful to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Judy.
Yes, thanks to both of you. That was excellent advice and feedback. Thank you.
You know, I also would say embrace mentors. That's something that I was so fortunate and have always been extremely fortunate in my world, our mentors. And certainly Barbara and Rich were among my top mentors. But, you know, even other people, other DISC practitioners, sometimes if you just kind of get with them and maybe you have a call every now and then and say, you know, what are you doing? Or you help each other. And I really think that's a marvelous way to start. We did a lot of that when I started too. But I think mentoring others and being mentored is a great gift, and sometimes that includes accountability. So if I tell somebody, if I told Barbara I was going to make 5 calls, boy, I didn't want to talk to Barbara the next day and not have made those 5 calls. So, you know, I think that is extremely helpful. Have fun. I do think having fun is crucial. That's what keeps us in this. And so allow yourself to just make this really fun. It's a huge part. It is my life. And everywhere I go, I do have a lot of fun with this.
Thank you, Judy. I also want to introduce another person on our call this morning that I know uses DISC in some unique applications. He's one of our DISC master trainers in our Encounter workshop and a certified DISC practitioner. Steve Carton, are you still with us?
I'm here. Yes.
Wonderful. Steve, would you share with the group a little bit about ways that you use DISC and how you introduce DISC out into your world?
Yeah, I will. I'll preface it by saying that if any of you are a little bit maybe apprehensive about getting started, don't be. I feel like I have like a gazillion things to learn about DISC, but yet I have been able to use it fairly well with depending on the client's need. And I really appreciate what Ken said earlier about knowing what that person's need is. That helps so much more to get the kind of right result and appreciation for the DISC. Here's what I do. I work primarily with dentists. About 80 or 85% of my clients are dentists. And when they call me in, many times they will say, you know, that they've got people issues, but the reality is they want to make more money. the other part of that is that if you can resolve the people issues, they're going to make more money regardless. You know, you don't even have to work on operational things. So, but you do have to get that buy-in, like Ken said, because that will determine how you use it and how effective the client perceives it's been, and thus your permission to continue, you know, working with it. So when I use it in two ways primarily. One is when I'm going into a team I don't know, and most always when I'm going into a team I don't know them. It's rare that I do. And so I'll do I'll have a DISC assessment of all the team members before I ever go into the practice for the first time. And that gives me a little heads up, not only for interacting with them and how I can more successfully interact with them, as well as with the decision maker, the dentist, or the owner or partners. It also helps me because I'm typically on the phone with some of these folks 3 or 4 or 5 times, and in email maybe as many times also before I actually go in. And so the way that I try to deal with them from the beginning is kind of conditioned by the DISC report that I've gotten back. So I try to do that right at the very beginning so that I make all of my own interactions with these folks as effective as possible, as healthy as possible. And then we may or may not include the DISC training as one of my standard 6 visits over 18 months kind of thing. It just depends, again, on the client's perceived need. Sometimes they ask me to come in and just do team development, and so then we certainly build it in. And sometimes it's more operational and more geared toward myself and the doctors or me working with the team. And I think the things that were said about those collaborative reports are very important because often you've got, you know, kind of frictions between team members that need to be resolved. The reality is when you get to a place like a dental practice or any organization, the team they have is the team they have, so you have to work with them. And if you can help them to communicate better, things will be better all the way around. So I use it to help me communicate with the decision makers, the key leaders, the department leaders, and those kind of things as we're carrying out a project, which for me is usually 18 months. And then I also include specific sessions, anything from a couple hours to maybe 6 hours of DISC training if the decision maker, you know, is of a mind that, you know, we need to move in that direction. So it's been very helpful to me not to get myself in deep water by not being as mindful of communication needs and decision-making needs as I should be. So it helps me personally as a consultant a lot, but I can work out some wrinkles in the team as well, and that's good. And what was said about them speaking a common language, that's so true. I mean, I think that's one of the great things about Lead Like Jesus is that, you know, it helps us to speak a common language. And so the DISC thing certainly does that. The other part of it is I use it a lot for hiring and screening candidates. I mean, if you think about it, all of you have been to the dentist, I hope, and you've been in the dental chair with the hygienist. That's a lady who does the same thing 7 or 8 times a day, every day for 20, 25 years. So, you know, tell me what DISC style normally that you would find there. Go ahead. What do y'all think?
S&C.
And primarily S's. You know, occasionally you find some I's sprinkled in there because, you know, they just like to be the gad about, the, you know, chat with all the new people that come in. But, yeah, S's. And if you're trying to move a project forward and make a lot of change in an office where you sell an awful lot of that, and in the healthcare industry, you do have a lot of that, you know. So you're hiring for that, you know, you're hiring a hygienist and you don't necessarily feel like the D is going to be the person you want, particularly if, you know, if the doctor is a D as well. So we look at people's personality styles. If they're working on the front desk, you know, we're looking for folks who have a good bit of C in them and also have some I, you know. But so we use it to screen them out after we get down to about 3 candidates that we want to call in for an interview. I will always recommend to the dentist that we do the DISC profile and have that before they actually come in so we can, you know, kind of, you know, work with that. And that has proved helpful as well. And then the last thing I'll mention is just kind of a little bit off target a little bit or in a different direction. I've started working a lot with teams based on Patrick Lencioni's three things that he says every team member needs, and that's to be hungry, humble, and smart. And the smart part is the people smart. So the DISC has given me an opportunity to dig down deeper into that people smart thing because we do have who we have, and everybody can get better with their communication skills and people, you know, relating to people. So so I found it, you know, helpful in that way as well. So that's probably enough to confuse everybody, but if anybody has a question, I'd be happy to try to answer it from my perspective.
Do you go ahead and use a DISC job analysis ever in doing the assessment? I think one of the things that I've always tried to do is get the person trying to hire somebody to tell me what skills they need, you know. And I do use an instrument that causes them to go ahead and come up with the skill sets for each particular job. Do you ever use anything like that?
Ken, that's a good question. I always ask my clients before we ever post anything, you know, to make sure we have a job description. But your skill set analysis or assessment may be something that's a little deeper in that. And I would be, I've already sent you an email to ask for the other stuff. So if you have something you can send, I would love to see it.
It's very, 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 very simple, simple assessment, and it's a, you know, paper assessment, one page type of thing, or actually two pages, you know, one to do an assessment of the skills needed. It's not a person, but the skills that, and you can profile this, and then you can compare the two. So I use that all the time.
Yeah, I think that's great, and you know what that just kind of brings to the top of my mind, Ken, is that a lot of times, particularly in small businesses where you, you know, may have 6 to 10 to 15 employees, you know, you have sometimes people doing things that don't really complement their DISC profile. And they may be, you know, great employees, but their skills might not be appropriated in the best way. So I, you know, we have used it in the past to kind of move folks around with different skills, you know, after I've already been in the practice, but to look at it from the beginning before you bring somebody in, that would be a great thing, I think. So I look forward to getting that.
Good idea.
Well, thank you, Steve.
I have one question. Steve,
sure.
When you were talking about, what was it, hungry, humble, what was the third one?
Hungry, humble, and smart.
Smart, okay. I've seen those.
Smart. Yeah, the smart is people smart. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ken, Judy, and Steve, for giving us some ideas. I'm just going to end with just popcorning some ideas to you that Rich and I have used over the years, and just give you some idea sparks of what you might do, especially for those of you who are just starting. I heard several of our speakers this morning talk about giving away sample or actual assessments to people. When we first started, we thought of all of our friends, our family, our favorite clients, and we were just giving out assessments all the time. Because it gave us practice. It gave us practice in not only just giving them out, but secondly, to debriefing those with people, to talk with them about that. So if you can get assessments in people's hands, and sometimes I would send out my own personal assessment, and then I would just tell people what a difference DISC has made in my professional and my personal life. I'd give examples of how DISC helped me with my kids, with my family, my Heidi sister. I mean, there's just so many personal examples I could give people. So they would find it interesting to learn a little bit about me, and then I would offer them a free or discounted assessment just to get them started with that and then do a debrief with them. I love to do that. I think you can also make a big announcement to your clients, your friends, people within your churches to tell them, hey, I just got certified in this biblical DISC assessment, and I would love to talk to you about how it could make a big difference in your life, in your relationships, in your organization. So tout that as something that you have learned. You've spent 2 days getting certified. You're learning all the time about DISC. Now share that with people by doing an announcement, or tell people that you'll spend 30 minutes on the phone with them debriefing their assessment. That's just a wonderful gift you can give to people by doing that. I love the idea that I heard earlier about Bible study groups. We did that in our church. And then what you want to do is just have them take the assessment. People are used to purchasing Bible study guides and books, and so they're not going to balk at paying for an assessment that they can use during your study. And then each of those people come from organizations and associations and churches, so it's a natural jump then to say to them, well, who else could use this assessment? So you want to be able to do that. And use testimonials. If you don't have any of your own, we have a bunch of them. Use our testimonials and use that in all of your communications as you're sending out emails or talking with people. You really want people to see how DISC makes a difference. Otherwise, DISC is just another tool. If you can't totally talk about how it's transformed people, how it's made a difference in your own personal life, in the friends that you know, and in your own church. So those are a couple ideas of how you might just get some of those ideas out and start talking to your clients and friends and family about DISC. So I'm just going to open it up here at the end. If anybody else has an idea or a comment or a question, we'll just take that in the last 5 minutes of our call.
Barbara, this is Steve.
Yes.
Go ahead, the lady who was speaking.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm giving some thought about doing the DISC as a Sunday night discipleship training thing in my church, which typically runs about 12 weeks. I wonder, Ken or Barbara Rich or any of you others who may have attempted something like that, do you see that as something that with the report we get, the 42, 44 pages or whatever, could actually go, you know, a 10, 12-week thing?
Go ahead. What I do, and I think it'll help you, is those on the Oasis, the supplementary handouts that are there. But yeah, you could go and do that. Actually, when I did this probably 20 years ago, I actually came up with a 13-week Sunday school deal, and did that. So yeah, I can, and I'd be more than happy to, you know, walk you through, you know, an outline or whatever. Just give me a, shoot me a line, and we can have a discussion on how I'd approach that.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Kim.
Judy, did you have a comment?
I answered my own question. Thanks.
That's good stuff.
This is Daryl here. I have one question.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So my question would be regarding costing. So I do some work with businesses, corporations, and then also working with churches. One of my challenges is the costing working with churches and or volunteer groups or ministries, where many of them, work, they're nonprofits and so aren't accustomed to paying the same kind of money. And so any advice you would have in that regard?
We do have, this is Judy, we do have a nonprofit discount. that we do give. So, and usually that's maybe a 15% discount, 15 to 20%, depending on. I look at that as in a sense my way of giving back to nonprofits because they do struggle. And I do give that to as a church discount too. So that's one of the ways we handle it.
We do too, Daryl. This is Barbara. We offer a 20% discount to nonprofits and churches. And when we talk with them, we always say that here is the standard price, but for this ministry, we give this discount. And we have even gone higher than that. But oftentimes in your Sunday school classes or in your churches, you have members of organizations that are for-profit. And when they experience your biblical assessment and then you tell them there's a disc classic, then you want to be clear that this is the price that we give to churches, but when we come into your organization or whatever, that this is the price. But, yeah, and we do give back. We'll do honorariums. This is our normal price for presenting, but for the church or for the nonprofit, this is our discount.
This is Tim. I've got a question.
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that 20% that you offer to the nonprofits, is that based on the $59 price point that we discussed for individuals in or for corporate individuals, or is it based on a $49 price point? What's the price point that we do the 20% discount?
We do it off of the full retail. So whatever the retail price is, then we give them the 20% discount off of that.
And is that suggested retail 59?
Yes.
That's how we do it, yes.
That's what's on the Lead Like Jesus website for both biblical disc and a classic disc is 59. And so you can give a 20, 25, whatever you want to do. Or, you know, I would just talk with the client. Yep. Good question.
The other thing that, just to piggyback on that, that I will often do is I will either discount the training or if it's like for my church, then I might say, you know what, I will comp the training. So I'm not going to do that all the time, but for some organizations, you know, if it's a church or a nonprofit, I may heavily discount my training or comp it as a gift, as part of my ministry.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Terry. I have a question. So the suggested retail of 59, is that for the disc assessment and the analysis?
59 is what people pay for the assessment. We tell people that in the assessment there is an application guide. As you know, there's all sorts of application exercises. So I really try and build up more value into the assessment when we sell it at 59. But if you're going to do a debrief with someone, if you're going to spend an hour on the call with them, then you're going to likely be charging a fee for your coaching or your consulting or your conference time with them on the phone.
Okay, thanks.
Do we have any other questions for Ken, Judy, or Steve, or just things you'd like to share with us this morning on the call? I love to hear what you all are doing.
Well, this has got me chomping at the bit to get going again. We've been, as I said, building a house, and we've been doing things that have basically kept me from getting this thing ratcheted up, but we're hoping to have all that behind us, and this call has greatly helped in rekindling the fire.
Wonderful. That's great to hear. Thank you, Tim. I would just like to go ahead, please.
Barbara, the Duane here in Ohio. So since I'm still an infant in this thing, I'm just gathering all the information that I can and trying to get all of my ducks in a row so that hopefully in 2018 that that'll be a great year for us to, for lack of a better term, showcase what Biblical Disc will be able to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think associations are one of the best ways because you have such a just a ready-made audience there of people that can really benefit from this. So that's exciting to hear. Thank you, Duane.
Thank you.
Well, I'd like to honor our time together. We're coming up on an hour here together. I'd like to thank Ken and Judy and Steve for sharing with us their ideas about how they're using it and how they have marketed the assessments in their businesses and with their clients. We're always here to support you and help you as you're starting and launching your DISC business or just using DISC out into your churches, your spheres of influence. And in all that we do and in all that we say, we know that what we're trying to do is to help people learn to lead, live, and love like Jesus by adapting our own behavior to the needs of others. And that's how we love people, is when we're willing to look at our own behavior, understand our own behavior, and then go out into the world and help others. I love what you said, Steve, about being smart, and we talk about people smart. Once we become people of our own behavioral style and others, we can really, truly learn to love them. So thank you all for being a part of this call. Know that we love you and pray for you all every day, and let us know if we can help you in any way. Thanks, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.